Hello and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture topics beginning with the letter S. I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I am eating the head off a gingerbread man.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I know!
I'm Spartacus!
I'm Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
You're Sparta Batman.
Way to kill the joke, Dom.
Sorry.
I'm Kevin Chu, a.k.a. Dom McGuinn.
I am Danny Sulivarocom, so I am referred to in some circles as Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Michael Lee.
I am Sung Lee.
And today's topic is Square Enix. Well, technically it's Squaresoft, but these days they go by the name Square Enix, given that they merged. And so, you know, it'll be a discussion about the video game company, and also a brief little foray into their failed video company.
Film company.
Film company. I call it video because I don't consider that thing to be a film.
Oh! Yeah, you're right.
Yeah? So anyway, let's go get around to the usual first question, which is, what was your first Squaresoft game?
Okay, no, I want to go later.
That's true, you guys are interested. Okay, so, my first Squaresoft game is actually Final Fantasy
1. Mystic Quest or just 1?
1. Because my sister got it for me on a whim. Or I think it was probably for my birthday or something random.
Little
like
did she know it would be down a long and nerdy road.
Yeah, I know. I don't think she suspected a thing. But yeah, I played... That's the game where I learned how to grind and learned how to curse and gibiro and... Yeah,
learned how to grind, huh?
Yeah. I know.
What's this mean?
I didn't learn that until much later, no.
Alright, anyway.
It's called fucking.
Zookeeper, those monkeys are killing each other!
No, those monkeys are fighting.
Oh, I thought they're killing each other.
Oh, fighting, yeah.
Oh, Zookeeper, those monkeys are fighting!
Oh.
So anyway, Final Fantasy.
But yeah, I mean, like, that actually predates pretty much any sort of fantasy concept for me. I hadn't read any fantasy books before then. I'd never even heard of D&D. So that was pretty much the framework on which I put about 3/4 of my current nerdery, which is a little terrifying now that I think about it.
Yeah, they were a gateway drug to a lot of people.
My first Squaresoft game, I'm pretty sure, was Rad Racer.
Rad Racer?
Crap. Never mind.
It's an old NES racing game.
It's like how my first Blizzard game was...
Lost
Rock
Vikings.
And Roll Racing.
Oh, Rock and Roll Racing. Awesome.
I'd forgotten about Rad Racer, which is unfortunate, because I played the hell out of that. But, I still have Theme 3 stuck in my head.
Oh, I don't remember anything about the game besides the fact that I played it a couple times. But I do remember Final Fantasy, which I borrowed from a neighbor who lived down the street and across the way. He let me borrow his Final Fantasy cartridge, and I played that, beat it, played it again, beat it. it was a very, very big part of my early NES days.
Interesting. Son?
For me, I mean, I would guess probably Final Fantasy II, but then, like, the one I remember most playing as a kid was Final Fantasy, what was 3 in America, but 6 in Japan. Or was it 4?
So was this in Korea?
When you say 2,
you mean 4.
2 in America and 4 in Japan? Or
Japan,
Americans are bad.
Two is from America.
Okay, so that's 4 in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So my first Square game that I remember was Final Fantasy 2/4 on the Super Nintendo. I played it at a friend's house. I started playing it at a friend's house, and suddenly it was 4 hours later. And that's it. That was well after I'd become a nerd, but it was an opening to an all-new kind of nerdery.
Sitting down, shutting up, and doing something
else. A long tradition of that.
Track of time entirely.
Kevin, what about you?
This is where the part where I always remember that I'm younger than you guys. But do you remember Air Keys?
On the PlayStation?
Yes.
Yes. Air that's not what it was. it was Final Fantasy VIII. This was way after 7, actually. It was actually 7. I played Final Fantasy VIII on PC. And this was, I had just gotten a new PC, so I was getting a bunch of demos of different things just to see what the 3D card would do. And so I got Final Fantasy VIII, and I started playing that demo, and I enjoyed it, and then eventually got the actual regular game for PC and played that, and kind of got into the whole, you know, Japanese RPG thing, because a girl that I had liked also was into them. So I was, like, also, figuring out what's going on in this kind of a culture. And so that's why.
The other gateway drug.
Yes, the other gateway drug. And the thing about that was, I was not interested in anime or anything at that time, And the Square games actually led me also into becoming interested in anime and all those kind of things, which is, now that I'm not as interested in anime, you can also tell I'm probably not as interested in Square games.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that. I think a lot of us have not necessarily moved on, but opened our horizons a bit. But let's talk about the Final Fantasy series, because it is their flagship. We're getting 13 very soon. Well, okay, we're
we being
the people who can actually play the Japanese games and understand them are getting it very soon. And then America's getting it, what, late 2010?
No, March 2010.
March 2010?
Yeah. Q1 2010!
All right.
I thought that's what it was, right?
I think it got delayed from that, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's been delayed so many times.
I really don't care. I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so let's talk about their flagship, because it's just so much of a part of their identity. So,
can we start with their history? How they were failing?
Sure, Mike.
And
they go.
Okay.
So basically, the reason why it's called Final Fantasy.
Yeah, the reason it was called Final Fantasy was they had no money. They were out of money. They had one. They could go with one last project, so they went with the weird RPG kind of thing, sort of based on wizardry, sort of not. And so they called it Fantasy. Since it was going to be their last game, they called it Final Fantasy. And it saved their ass.
And it continues to this day.
And it's still not their Final
Except
Fantasy.
For the one time they bankrupted.
Actually, I think it bankrupted them a couple times, but let's talk about that later.
One time for sure.
Yeah, one time for sure.
Well, I think they went bankrupt because they were trying to expand back into what they had done before. Like I said, Brad Racer, they were into many different genres before they settled into RPG.
Do you remember Project Gotham Racing?
Wait, that's Square?
No, wait, I'm thinking of something else. What's the thing I'm thinking of?
Bomberman?
No. They did a racer game.
I believe it.
Not Project Gotham.
Mario Kart?
Yes, that was it.
Oh,
Mario Kart.
They did Paper Mario. Or Mario RPG.
Mario RPG.
Oh. They didn't do Paper Mario. They did Mario RPG, definitely. Yeah.
Huh. No, they did some racing games. I remember they dipped into that for a while.
They were dipping into everything.
Lagoon Racing? Something like that.
Well, there's Bahamut Lagoon. I don't know if there was ever a racing game based on that particular franchise.
No, I'm thinking of something else then.
Yeah, they were expanding into fighting games with Air Guys.
Einhander?
Yes. They were branching into shooters with Einhander.
That was a shooter?
It was such a bad shooter. We're going to talk about that later.
They were into beat-em-ups with the Bouncer.
And,
that was a beat-em-up.
Air Geese?
Yes, as a fighter. Yeah, that was the first one I mentioned. But yeah, that's the kind of thing that bankrupts them.
Okay, fine.
Are you sure it wasn't Square Pictures? Because that was a $120 million failure.
Yes. Yes, it was.
It, in fact, did kind of bankrupt
them. They even kicked out the gooch.
They kicked people out, and not only that, but they were forced to allow Sony to buy parts of them because of that. But, let's start with the original concepts of Final Fantasy, you know, the original stuff like the NES and Super NES versions of the game. And that's what we grew up on, right? Oh, actually,
yeah.
We leaving out Kevin.
Yep.
Like, what was it that really drew you into those?
To put it simply, it wasn't Mario.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like,
it was a totally different game.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. And back then, I mean, you had to realize that there weren't many options. And the RPG market was not very big. I mean, you had, like, what, Secret of Mana. You had, Fantasy Star. Fantasy Star was really big when I was in junior high school.
Dragon Quest?
Dragon Quest hadn't started yet, I don't think.
It did by then.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
They were basically concurrent.
Yeah, that's the thing. About the same time that I picked up Final Fantasy, if I remember correctly, at least it's not true then. I guess I hadn't read any fantasy books,
yeah.
I hadn't seen any fantasy series I played Dungeons & Dragons, but I'm fairly certain I played Dragon Warrior before that, but I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, but like, well, my point was like, out of all those RPGs, I mean, I didn't play that many, so it was like that, and I remember playing Secret of Mana, I remember playing maybe like one other RPG, but it had a very good story, and it kept you wanting to play instead of getting frustrated with bats in Castlevania, or
the bats are a challenge,
or like in Ninja Gaiden with like terrible controls and
the bats are a challenge there too, actually. But the walls are more of a challenge than the bats.
This is true.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a very different gaming experience from what I was used to.
Yeah, come to think of it, I mean, it's a very, for one thing, you could actually wait and see what you wanted to do, as opposed to the average Mario game where there's a very clear timer and occasionally a couple of things walking up trying to touch you and kill you. But I think the main thing for me for Final Fantasy was, since I either played or was playing Dragon Warrior around the same time, I got used to the idea of, you know, this is your character, this is your character's name, you're collecting stuff for you. So the idea of a party completely threw me off. And, you know, I started really getting into that idea of, you know, character specialization, you know, I better bring one of these and one of these, otherwise I'll die.
Four fighters. It's the best.
Yeah, so meanwhile, wait, four fighters? Isn't that the hardest version of...
No, that's four easy.
Four thieves is pretty good, is fine because you can run away.
Okay, that's true.
Four black mages is the hardest.
Oh, okay.
Because you run out of spells and you've got dinky little daggers.
Right.
All
right.
Oh, four fighters is the easy mode? Okay.
Four fighters is so easy. It's ridiculous. But for me, like I mentioned earlier in another podcast, this is one of the games that made me sit up and take notice of music coming from a video game. They're just beeps, but they're arranged so well. And it just continued through every Final Fantasy that I came across. Final Fantasy 2/4, you got more beeps. This is 16-bit. And then you get to later, where you get actual CD sound.
I didn't like Final Fantasy VII music that much, honestly.
I'm just remembering the one that made me really listen to the music, because I had to, was the opera scene from 6/3.
Yeah, well, 6 is, in my opinion, the one with the best music. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually around that time that I hit college and started going to Japantown in San Francisco. So that's when I got to arranged CDs. And so, yeah, that's what I mean by CDs.
Are you still buying every Square CD?
I'm sure Andy is.
I had every Square or Final Fantasy CD up through 12. And then I know they released some more in 11 that I don't have. So it's no longer, complete.
Yeah. Okay.
Same with Hakutai. I'm missing some drama CDs.
I'm missing some drama too.
So anyway,
as a side note, I've looked it up, and yes, Racing Lagoon, that's the one.
Racing Lagoon,
that's why
is
I,
real?
That's why I confused it with Bahamut Lagoon.
Okay.
And then for some reason Project Bahamut Racing, Project Gotham Racing. But yeah.
I played Project Bahamut Racing. That sounds kind of cool, actually.
Wow, Racing Lagoon was for the Pocket Station? That's pretty obscure.
No. There's. Oh, let me go looking again.
I'm just imagining Batman riding on top of a dragon, racing through the streets.
See,
now.
Doesn't it sound awesome?
It sounds like an episode of Batman: The Brave and the Bold, actually. Anyway, back to the whole Final Fantasy thing. You're talking about music.
Yeah, and so the music became a real selling point for me for a game. I could enjoy, Dr. Mario or Tetris or whatever, but after a while that same music just kind of gets boring. Whereas in Final Fantasy, you go to a different zone, you go to a new town, different place.
Get in a fight.
Yeah, I mean, and I liked every one of those themes. For the longest time, there was this one theme which I heard for the first time. It's like, oh my god, I've never heard this before. What is it? Oh, it's the Game Over theme. Because I had never heard the Game Over theme, and I heard it on the CD. It's like, this is so great! But I don't want to die.
For me, Final Fantasy 3/6 had some of the best music and also the best music for the limited hardware of all time. What really awakened me to video game music was actually Streets of Rage. That's another story. But, Final Fantasy had just an amazing score to it, which is kind of why I got disappointed when I found out that Uematsu, the composer for many of the Final Fantasy games, although he's no longer part of the company,
Everything up through 10.
Yeah. He really likes his butt rock. He really, really likes bad metal and rock.
Dude, he made his own band for that.
I know.
For the express purpose.
Which is, by the way, a terrible song. Also included in this list of terrible songs by Uematsu, where he just goes away from what made him famous and into what he likes, includes the boss theme of Blue Dragon, where he has the guy from Deep Purple singing.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a really bad song.
Wow. I didn't... Huh?
Yeah, I'll play it for you sometime. It's a terrible, terrible song. Or also, Final Fantasy X with the opening theme, essentially, where...
X's where he stopped being the sole composer.
He didn't do all of 10, but he did Otherworld.
He collaborated with...
But he did Otherworld, which is the butt rock one. But yeah, I got really disappointed when he went over to the CD audio and suddenly the boss theme was no longer, you know, like, not necessarily orchestral, but at least melodic into a series of guitar riffs. That one I really hated when he went into that. But anyway, what the Final Fantasy series represented to me, along with the Phantasy Star series, I sort of consider them equally, is the possibility that a video game could have a fully realized story. You know, as sparse as it was in those early RPGs, and as bad as the characterization was in a lot of them, you know, spoony bards and all.
Spoony is a valid insult.
It is not.
Yes, it is. Because it's an old insult, and who's saying it? Tella.
Kevin, if I called you spoony, what would you do?
How deep does your throat go?
What does that even mean?
I'm measuring my fist. My fist to my shoulder.
I hope you didn't have breakfast today. Actually, sorry. I hope you have room in your stomach.
Because I'm about to ram my fist into it.
Into it or something like that. Ram my fist down your throat?
I thought it was something about having enough room in your stomach because I'm about to ram my fist into it.
There you go. All right. So anyway, after my failed attempt to quote the Governator, but that's really what the Final Fantasy series was for me, which is why when the story is bad, I completely dislike Final Fantasies. And, you know, especially since all of these things are like a 40 to 60 hour investment these days, and if the story's bad, I'm just going to stop, because that's what I did for 7 and 8, actually. I just, after the story in 6 had impressed me so much, 7 and 8 were just so disappointing, because the story of 7 was incomplete, and the story of 8 I hated absolutely and terribly.
I actually like 8.
You like 8?
I hate 7, though. But I also like 6 the most. I also like 5.
Fist bump.
Yeah! About which game are we fist bumping?
All of them. That's
the same for you,
right? I like 8. I hate 7. I like 6.
So I like 1. I hate 2. I like 3. I like 4. I like 5. I like 6. Hate 7. Like 8. 9 kind of liked. 10 stopped everything from there on. Oh, I like 12.
Mine is so much simpler than that. I remember. I like 6.
Hate.
I don't remember 1 through 5, and I haven't played any of the others.
That's quite easy to remember, actually.
Well, yeah, we might as well just talk about which ones we like at this point, because people have their own opinions and their.
Why don't we just talk about the ones we hate? 7.
8.
7.
7.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I'm not gonna fist bump you.
Aww, Danny.
Don't do it. Remember what he said about your wife?
Oh, yeah.
No!
Oh!
Bring it! And people,
this makes no sense.
You have no idea what just happened, but it was awesome.
So Danny just sort of like stuck his fist down your throat.
I played scissors.
He broke your scissors, man.
No, I broke his scissors.
Scissors beats rock.
You're gonna let him break your scissors? What about all the blood?
What are we talking about again?
Yes, the games we hate.
So people will
Devil May Cry 2.
No, people will come up with
there's
the
a
same,
2?
It's called Bayonetta.
No, that's called Bayonetta. There's a 2? I thought they never made 2.
They just went to 3.
They went to 3, and to make up for it, they made Bayonetta instead.
No, but anyway, let's talk about, you know, because the reasons that we'll like a Final Fantasy will tend to be the same, let's talk about why we didn't like the ones that we've said just now that we didn't like. So let's start with 7.
Boring.
Boring? You actually considered it boring?
Talk too much, not play enough.
I thought the story was ill-considered.
My reason I don't like 7 is that not only is the story inconsidered, but it's incomplete, because you get to the later discs, and they drop everything. There's no further exposition, there's no further anything other than, hey, look, guys, the meteor's coming from the sky. Let's go watch chickens have sex. That is my least favorite thing to do in any kind of RPG.
Watch chickens have sex. Let's talk about this. Do you actually like any of the characters from 7? That's really my biggest problem with 7. I thought none of the characters, except for maybe Red 13, was really that interesting.
I thought Vincent was cool.
But he's just cool. He's just Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But like, there's nothing
else
about him.
You didn't know anything about him. And then they came out with Kerberos.
His own game. That sucked.
Yeah, it really did
good,
suck.
Good thing I didn't play it.
Apparently, they're very pretty in Advent Children.
Did any of us watch Advent Children?
I watched it.
I saw it.
Oh, I didn't want to watch it.
The only thing I remember about Advent Children at the end is the Buddha Palm.
Mm.
I don't even remember if it was actually Buddha Palm. I may have been meshing it together with Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you were.
But it's very similar, where they just keep flying higher into the air, and then he comes down and probably leaves this gigantic imprint. Well,
that's room. Because the team is working together to, like, slap Cling. Physics in the face and keep throwing Cloud higher.
Yeah, I just keep on thinking of, like, length or girth.
Actually, let's the coolest thing I thought about Advent Children was the fact that somebody summoned Bahamut against them. I thought that was the best part.
But here's the thing. Let's start with 6, because really, most people remember the big cast of characters starting from 6 onward. I know 4 has some, too.
Well, 4 Although, has a rotating cast of characters is the problem. Like, by the time you get to know them, they die.
But like, but 6 and
you
onward...
You air quotes and die.
You go to 6, right? And everybody is going to be like, I love Shadow.
Not really.
I love Shadow. I like
Steve. Okay. But you'll like somebody.
His dog was awesome.
Yeah, his dog was awesome.
His dog was awesome because it blocked for it.
Yes.
See, like, from 6, I liked Cyan.
Cyan was actually my favorite character in 6.
No, Celeste. Oh, I love her.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
Celeste was my favorite.
I liked Cyan because he has the most tragic story and because his hometown has the best music in the game.
Oh, so I'll bring this up because since we're talking about 6/4, which was I've always meant to replay them to see the alternate endings that you get. Like you don't have to pick up Locke.
Yeah, you don't have to pick up a lot of people. Final Fantasy VI can be completed with
and
3 characters.
I'll
see if I can get my videotape.
Also, one thing I read in the fact was like, apparently there's a bug in the game where you don't even have to meet Celeste. You just skip over her.
Yes.
But in the fact, it's just like, I highly recommend you do not do this because she is necessary to complete the game.
Yeah, because I was just about to say, like, how does the story progress without her? It's kind of a big deal.
She kind of is your character in the second half of the game, and your only character. And she has to get the band back together.
Yeah.
Just like the Blues Brothers.
Maybe you control one of the seagulls.
I think what probably happens is just you see that screen and nothing happens. But yeah, so we just didn't like... The thing is that what you said about 7, where you don't like any of the cast, is the exact reason I hated 8, because I didn't actually get to meet any of the later casts that people liked.
Oh, okay.
Because the thing about
so you
8
got
is,
to meet Rinoa, and then you turn off the game.
Pretty much. because the whole dialogue of Squall for me is, I don't care.
Whatever.
I'm a douche. Whatever. Here's a phone. Call somebody who cares. And it's like, I don't like this character.
He wouldn't offer you a phone.
So wait. This is Twilight?
Oh my god.
Actually, it all makes sense.
It makes sense now.
They're not the same. What are you talking about? Rinoa's way too bubbly.
Wait, Rinoa has too much personality?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know if she has that much personality. The other reason that I hated Final Fantasy VIII was because of the game mechanic where you stand there and you hit the draw button forever.
Draw failed.
You're dumb.
Clearly.
And then, I think you're dumb.
You need to boost your int stat.
Yeah.
And then your draw will succeed.
Yes, mm-hmm. But you know what I have?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, we get it.
But the other thing about that I hated about that was that once you finally drew your 100, you had no incentive to actually use your magic. You would just attach it to a stat and leave it there.
It's called
augmenting or whatever?
No. What was it? Oh, shoot. I forgot what it was called.
Aura?
Aura was the spell that you put on like every stat you could.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Aura was the spell you cast.
Oh, it was?
So that you get to sit there and limit break things to death.
Oh, okay, right.
No, I forgot. It was like you use your you merge things with the elements.
The guardian forces?
Something. I forgot.
Junction
what
it, system.
Junction. There we go.
I hated that mechanic.
Oh, you just put fire junction on your defense, and anything fire was like, hey, I can't do shit. Yeah, boo. Yeah.
Meanwhile, so you hated 10, Kevin?
I didn't play 10.
Oh, you didn't play 10.
10,
okay.
10 was at the point where in my life where I said, hey, hurry up.
Okay.
And then fair. I just never got there. Right. 12 was good. 12 was very good. I wish I would finish it.
12 I didn't necessarily... But 12
I haven't
I
finished
had,
12 yet.
12 I had too many preconceptions of because of how delayed it was and because I was talking to Square Enix marketing people at the time, and they're like, hey, look at this. It's exactly like Final Fantasy XI.
Actually, that's what I thought made it better. I thought the gameplay was much better.
The thing was that for me, it was the marketing that killed me because they were like, oh, and do you remember that demo we had you play last year? It's gone now. Final Fantasy XII is totally different now.
That's good. No loading screens.
And also the other part was, hey, and you can, this game fights for you.
That's good. Don't have to do as much.
The not having to do as much is fine, but the demo they put in front of me when I was at E3 that year, I actually turned to the left, was not even looking at the screen anymore, was talking to the PR girl, and turned back and was like, oh, the fight's over. What happened? I don't know.
That's good. That's what I want to play.
And then the third strike against it was when Miho was doing the repetitive dungeon against the infinitely respawning ghosts, where all the rooms look the same.
Wait, how does the pillow play a video game?
Very carefully.
Wow, Dom, look what you started.
Conservatively, mostly, but, you know, willing to actually put in time for it. But.
Yeah, the hug pillow really does know how to grind. Danny taught it well. I'm still going to die in my sleep tonight.
You know, I would normally
I'll
find that...
I'll wake you up first.
Normally I would find that funny, but you're going to hell.
I'm going straight to hell. All right, so that's what we didn't like about the Final Fantasies. Was there anything else that we needed to get through about?
One thing I liked about 8 was the theme
by Fei Wong.
Yeah, Eyes on Me. Probably my favorite.
Yeah,
it became
a
Final Fantasy
hit.
Theme.
And then everyone tried to do the songs for all the other ones, and it never became a hit.
Well, I mean, Kodakumi got very, very, very big.
Oh, I forgot for X2.
Off of 10-2. Yeah. And since then, she's had some scandals and stuff. So. Not quite as popular anymore.
Oh, what are her new scandals?
I don't even know. I haven't kept up with it much.
She's been a hoe forever.
Okay. Well, she's toned down a lot.
Really? So she got some of the implants removed?
I don't know about that. Probably not. No, she hasn't. It's like she's had various like scandal things. Like, and compared to American scandals, it's nothing. But in Japan, it's, you know, like, stuff is a big deal.
Okay.
Even the little stuff. So, her sales have kind of been hit by those.
So, anyway, that's enough for Final Fantasy for now. Let's talk about the Final Fantasy spin-offs, because, oh my god, are there a lot of them.
Like Chocobo Racing.
Chocobo's Mysterious Dungeon.
Like Chocobo Racing.
Crystal Chronicles.
Chocobo Racing. Mario Dissidia. RPG.
Mario RPG does not count as a spin-off of Final Fantasy.
Actually, wait. Yeah, you're right.
What is that, Tactics or something like that?
Tactics.
So yeah, the thing is
Dissidia.
That, yeah, a lot. Oh god.
Chocobo Racing.
Advent Children.
Racing.
Wait. No. What's the one with
Spirits
Within? No. What's the one we play Zach? Crisis Core.
Oh yeah.
What about what's it called?
Before Crisis, which was the phone game.
Oh, and the After Crisis.
And Kingdom Time Hearts
Crisis.
Counts, right?
Well, it wasn't After Crisis.
it has Final Fantasy.
Yes, FF characters.
So the thing is, it was, AC was Advent Children, BC is Before Crisis, CC is Crisis Core, DC was Dirge of Cerberus.
What's EC?
There was none.
What's FC?
Force Crash.
Oh.
Thanks, Danny.
You're welcome.
All right, so anyway, let's keep going. Those sequels, like, what are they to you? Are they evidence that Square Enix can't do anything without Final Fantasy? Are they branded with Final Fantasy so people will pay attention to them? Are they a necessary evil? Or are they just sort of random ideas that got thrown out there?
I sort of look at them like the Ginray specials. Square needs to make money. So if they need to make money, they put a spin-off.
I love the Ginray specials.
Ginray specials are awesome.
I want to watch them again right now. Man, I love Ginray. I'm not joking here.
Yeah,
I have it, right?
I have it at home.
Yeah, just around the corner.
You
should watch it. Ginray is awesome.
So anyway.
But yes. I don't want to play any of those Final Fantasy spin-off games.
Not even Final Fantasy Tactics.
Play Tactics.
Tactics I consider its own Final Fantasy series. I played Tactics, so I'm like Dirge of Three-Headed Dog and... I don't remember the other. I like Chocobo Racing.
ACDCDCC. Just remember them that way.
Sure. Crisis Core I played for like 10 minutes and then I was like, oh my god, enough of this.
The game mechanics in Crisis Core were absolutely...
It's very pretty.
...terrible. It was pretty.
I didn't play any of them.
And Zach was likable.
You saved yourself a good amount of life.
No, I haven't, because I spent it playing Dynasty Warriors.
Actually, that's still better than playing Crisis Core, in my opinion, because the game mechanics were based on a roulette wheel. Not a roulette wheel, a slot machine spinner.
Oh, I hate slot. Like it's. I don't like Setzer's special with the slot.
Oh, I hate Setzer.
I use him as a healer.
Selfie's
of that.
Slot special.
Lagomorph.
Oh, what's the Kate Sith? God, yeah, I hate Kate Sith.
You know what's funny? Lagomorph, Final Fantasy VI, is the word that I won the regional spelling bee on. Nice. What is a lagomorph? They asked me on the radio show after interview afterwards. Like, what's a lagomorph? It's what happens when you don't match up three slides in the sensor. And that's why I went to the National Spelling Bees, because I knew what a lagomorph was.
Nice.
Thanks. You, Squaresoft.
Thanks, Squaresoft. I don't know if I've ever told anyone that story.
Wow, you heard it here, folks. Exclusive content from Dom's life.
I just told people I went to the National Spelling Bee. Like, oh, you're smart. Nope, I'm just a nerd.
What were we talking about again?
I don't remember anymore. Slots. Wait, that it was Crisis Core. Okay, so spin-offs.
I don't remember the other spin-offs.
I mean, do you think that any of those games, other than maybe Tactics, would have been able to stand on its own 2 feet without the Final Fantasy name?
Yeah.
Like, which ones?
No, they would have sold.
They
would have sold, because they would still be under the Square name, too. Remember that one summer in the United States? There was, like, a game that came out every month during the summer. It was Brave Fencer Musashi in May, then Threads of Fate, which was Dew Prism or whatever, in June.
I love that game.
Then in... So I love... Yes! Threads of Fate was my favorite... No, don't...
What? Come on, let me in!
And then after that was... No. It was Brave Fencer Musashi, Legend of Mana, Threads of Fate, Chrono Cross...
Oh,
and then Vagrant Story. Five months in a row, each one, a new game.
I hate Chrono Cross with the fury of a thousand suns.
The beginning and the end are fine.
Don't you like the music?
I don't remember the music. My association with Chrono Cross is a bunch of people sitting in cubicles at GamePro going, Jesus, I hate this game! Because they were having to write strategy guides for it. Going, this game's terrible! The entire time, and I looked over their shoulders and went, wow, this game's terrible.
Yeah, I guess there's that.
So your question earlier, what Square game? Oh, it has to be a Final Fantasy game.
Yes.
Oh, oops. I can't say Xenogears then.
What Square game what?
That could stand on its own without any like branding from Squaresoft and Xenogears.
Xenogears once again gets the Final Fantasy VII treatment for me because the second disc is you sitting there and hitting A a lot. Sorry, it was X.
But anyway. it has an awesome cockpit.
The driving game is Driving Emotion Type S.
That sounds depressingly familiar.
Yeah. I think I played that one. Oh. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank
Why
you.
Why you gotta bring up old stuff?
Thank you, Internet. Wait, what'd you think about Vagrant Story, though?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was the gayest gay that ever gayed.
And yet was awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
It had Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
This is why you have nice things.
Dom doesn't get to bump anyone.
Oh.
Not just at this table.
Danny needs to keep me in Ryan so I can bump.
Wait, no. There's also All-Star Pro Wrestling.
You're just looking at Wikipedia now.
What is the Wikipedia?
Yeah, there's nothing here. Wow.
But yeah, I mean, how many of those games out of those series, you know, Crystal Chronicles, Chocobo's Mysterious Dungeon, blah, 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 how many of those would you actually have even looked at?
I looked at all of them.
The Final Fantasy name.
Oh. Still all of them. I wouldn't play them. I would have seen the name on a list and be like, I'm not getting that.
I like my life as a king.
Yeah!
I mean, that's the thing.
Why must you taunt me with what I cannot have?
When it comes to, like... Don't leave...
Son! Don't leave a brother hanging!
Song, you know what happens if you do.
I don't have any diseases.
You're out of the family!
If you bump, you're out of the family.
Yeah.
Wow.
The gingerbread man.
The gingerbread man is condemned to death now.
Let's eat him.
He's already headless and armless.
He has one arm left and he used it to fist bump me, so he's okay in my book.
Are you sure that's his arm?
I hope it's.
But if you talk
there's
about
there's a lot of cream everywhere.
When you talk about games that are Final Fantasy branded but obviously not Final Fantasy, the two that come to mind are Final Fantasy Tactics, which is not Final Fantasy, but still pretty cool, and Final Fantasy Adventure.
Which one's that?
Seiken Densetsu.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's also known as Beginning of the Secret of Mana series, right? Which I love.
Mystic Quest.
That I didn't get to play as much, I don't think.
You're also forgetting Mickey's Magical Quest.
Yes, I am.
Final Fantasy Adventure.
Final Fantasy Unlimited. Legend.
So, here's a question. Which of those have you played and enjoyed, though, out of the Final Fantasy X series? Like, not actually the main Final Fantasy series.
Final Fantasy Unlimited.
Final Fantasy
Unlimited. That's an anime.
What's wrong with you?
And I didn't like it.
Yeah. I was about to say, no one liked that.
Now it's
a
terrible show.
I like the ending theme. That's about it.
I think that's pretty much what...
I thought you meant I like that it ended.
I was okay with that part, too, actually.
I like the winning thing.
That was like the only thing people liked. Oh, wait, and the ending theme.
Yeah, so, like, out of that, you know, what's...
The ending theme was Move, right?
I played Final Fantasy Adventure, both because it was Seiken Densetsu. Well, not because of that, but before I knew about, like, Secret of Mana at all. And I really liked the idea of it, because, you know, you just took a random helper with you, and they always did something different. It was like Magic Sword, but on a different plane.
I liked Final Fantasy Legend and Final Fantasy Legend 2 for the Game Boy.
What were those?
Mystic Quest.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh, Mystic Quest was SNES. Same series, though, I think.
What was the one for the Game Boy?
That makes sense.
I thought it was
Final Fantasy Adventure, Final Fantasy Legend, and Final Fantasy Legend 2. Those are the ones that I'm aware of.
In the United States, something was released for Game Boy.
Yeah, I forgot what it was
called.
Those
are the three.
Releases.
Those are the three American releases.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
It's
right.
Like Seiken Densetsu.
Okay.
And then whatever the hell those other two were.
So, have they overused the Final Fantasy name in your opinion?
No.
Like, have you gotten hardcore sequelitis, or is it just another name now that you just sort of look at and say, "Oh, it's by Square"? Like, did they degrade their own brand, or did they just sort of?
Well, I'll say. It's not as bad as Gainax and Eva.
I think it's worse, actually.
Really?
I think it's worse than
you think
Gainax
it's actually worse than the overuse of Evangelion.
For me, whenever Squaresoft releases anything Final Fantasy colon something, I know it's a bad game. I immediately think it's going to be a bad game.
The city was pretty bad.
But then with Gainax, it's just a rehash of the same thing over and over and over. At least Square, when they re-release a game, they don't do it that often. And they actually,
people are waiting for a release
of
7.
Of 7?
Oh,
they've gotten 1 through 6, haven't they?
Yeah, they've re-released the first 6.
I mean, I would actually like to play the remakes, but...
The 4 remake I enjoyed a lot on the DS.
Yeah. Well, that was a complete, that was a fairly complete overhaul.
Yeah,
well, actually,
yeah.
4...
Oh, yeah. All the remakes are big overhaul.
4 has had 3 versions now. The original Super Nintendo,
yes.
The Game Boy Advance one, and the DS one.
Yes.
So, I mean, isn't
WonderSwan.
Huh? Plus...
Nobody counts the WonderSwan except...
you.
Plus
us.
That thing, yeah. So, I mean, like, Gainax has done Eva. They've done Eva again as a re-release.
They've done Eva 1.0. They've done Eva 2.0.
And then 2.0.
They're about to do 3.0.
Wait. 3.0?
It's a four-movie
rebuild?
Thing.
I thought that was 2.0.
Anyway, there's supposed to be 4 movies. And there's
No, 2.0 is before.
Not only is there 1.0, there's like 1.01 and 1.11, too, as DVD releases.
In Japan only, right?
1.01 is coming out over the US, and then they're going to put out 1.11.
Try Naked Ray!
Wait. So hold on. Which one is... The first one, okay, is the one that I know. What's 1.01 and what's
1.01? 1.01 is a very dark DVD transfer, and then 1.11... was them going, oh crap, the color's messed up, and fixing it.
I don't think
DVD
that's,
release.
You know, intentional.
Those count, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's still them going back to the Golden Cow and milking
They do for merchandise, but yeah, I know the new movies, I feel like they're starting to do that, and they'll probably do a new TV series based upon that, too. But I mean, like, Square did this something similar with Final Fantasy IV.
I guess.
And aren't there 2 versions of Advent Children?
No, I hope
not.
I don't think so. I think there's just Advent Children, and it came with a demo for...
I thought there's 2
versions.
Remember there's a director's
later
cut.
On, yeah, there's a director's cut, basically.
Oh. So, in fact, I think we're going to put Square... I'm going to put Square and Gainax on the same level here in terms of milking the cow.
They're all in the penalty box.
They're all in the penalty box. So I know Kevin burned out on the Final Fantasy name. What about you, Mike? You're the biggest Final Fantasy name here.
Honestly, I lost a lot of interest when Uematsu left because the music is a big part of Final Fantasy for me. So I like everything up through 10, and I kind of like 10. 10-2 is its own thing.
You played 10 more than any man I've ever known.
I didn't play 10.
You don't remember.
I played 10-2.
I said 10-2.
Before I played 10.
You said 10.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I played 10-2 before I played 10, and that's
why I said
10-2. I think that's why I like it a lot more than everybody who played 10. and then went to Tent 2 and said, this sucks. I was playing Tent 2. It's like, this is girls messing around. I'm okay with that. And now I'm playing 10. It's like, oh, so she's supposed to be serious.
Yeah.
One thing I remember was, if
it
this
really
was like,
when you go to sleep.
Maybe the year or two after Tent 2 came out, you know, of course, there's all these cosplayers who dressed up as, was it Yuna? Yeah.
And the
sad thing was, it's like, you see, like, this one guy walk around dressed as Yuna.
Oh, I remember this.
And everyone was like, you know, he's better cosplaying than most of the girls who dress up as her.
Well, that's because the guy had the body for it, too.
Yes.
Which is just
the buns, hon.
I am not commenting.
We're about to talk about the Final Fantasy movie now.
Yes.
How much it sucked.
It had the buns, okay. Huh?
So yeah, when you're
Ming-Na
about,
and Alec Baldwin.
When you're talking about things that derail a franchise name for me, that movie was pretty much it for me.
The funny thing is that I tell the story a lot, but I watched the Final Fantasy Spirits Within movie at the Pixar theater with Pixar employees. And I knew how bad it was going to be when the Square Pictures logo came up and someone behind me went, hey, wait. That's not even square.
Yes, I said that.
It was a rectangle.
Yes, it was a rectangle.
And then from there, people were just bashing on the animation because it was so good. They're like, we can't learn anything from this.
They can learn what not to do.
Yeah.
Actually, not even just technically, but everythingly. Although Elliot Goldenthal's score for it is very good.
Is it? Do you actually have that? Or do you...
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It's like a 3-star score.
Yeah, I thought the music was okay, but then again, I didn't realize it wasn't Noematsu.
Yeah. The thing though, that problem with that movie was it's not a Final Fantasy kind of thing.
Well, actually, I thought it was a lot more Final Fantasy than the games that were currently out at the time. I was all, wow, Spirit of Gaia, they're going back to that?
Okay, I will give you that. Some of the story elements.
And they're all on fetch quests.
The story elements, I thought, especially like those kind of things with the whole like Earth and those kind of spiritual things, I thought fit with what Final Fantasy is. But I thought the look and appeal of the movie is not even close.
Yeah,
even with 7.
I think one of my main problems with it was it just didn't feel epic at all. It just felt like they took little pieces of what Final Fantasy was and then put a story around it.
Thor's hammer became a satellite cannon.
Lisa. So yeah, that's what led to big changes inside of Squaresoft. They got bought out by Sony in the event.
Big changes inside of Squaresoft, as in their bank account moved somewhere else.
It moved way south. And also, not only that, but it ended up leading them to such, you know, financial straits where they had to merge with Enix.
Yay.
Yay.
And so, let's talk about two different things here. The merger with Enix, and also their non-Final Fantasy properties at the same time. Like, ever since they've merged with Enix, have you seen... more innovation out of them? More, like, variations and new things coming from them? Or do you think that they've become even more of a sequel farm?
Does Rocket Slime Adventures count?
That's a Dragon Quest spinoff.
Does it count? Yeah, I guess it's more Enix, right?
It's much more of an Enix game.
Up until earlier this year, I thought that after the merger, it still felt like Square's titles were still being made by Square, and Enix titles were still being made by Enix. And then I played Valkyrie Profile Covenant of the Plume. And that was a perfect marriage of Final Fantasy Tactics and Valkyrie Profile.
Which is pretty much equating it to Crack, if you know anything of the two of us.
Which one is that one? That's not the PSP one.
It's
on DS.
Oh, it's a DS one.
It's a DS strategy game. Hung and Mike. Danny, were you playing it for a while?
John.
Okay. Who's Hung?
John was playing it.
I don't know. I
think I'm Hung. Could you check?
Okay.
No.
Hung is the one who recommended it to me, and yeah, it's a great game. I love it.
I'm a big fan of Valkyrie Profile, but Valkyrie Profile 2 disappointed me so much.
I haven't opened that yet.
Don't. Keep your good memories of Valkyrie Profile, because that was one of my first impressions of the Square Enix merger, was Valkyrie Profile 2. It's like, hey look, they have enough money to make Valkyrie Profile 2, this is gonna be great, this is gonna be...
Oh, that was the opposite of what I had. It's like, they're going to merge. No, that means my Valkyrie Profile sequel will never get out because they're just going to make the next Final Fantasy.
I remember when we first found out that Valkyrie Profile 2 was about to come out. We were really shocked because it was just one of those things that we joked about. It's like, that's never going to happen. We've already forgotten about it.
It was different for me because at E3, right before Radiata Stories came out, I was talking to Tri-Ace and it's like, okay, I know you want to talk about Radiata Stories, but I have to ask. what's going to happen with Valkyrie Profile? And then they looked at each other. They said, we can't comment on that. I'm like, oh, it's coming.
Nice.
But yeah, it was, I don't know, a lot of it has been about two separate entities who just combine their profits, essentially.
Yeah.
And it still seems like Squaresoft, the Squaresoft half of the company, is still a sequel farm, milking Final Fantasy for every last thing it can.
Yeah, I mean, the Enix half is still trying new things. I think Unlimited Discovery is from the Enix side.
I think so.
Or Infinite Undiscovery?
Infinite Undiscovery.
How about Last Remnant?
I don't know.
I don't remember which side that's from, but anyway. I hear good things about Last Remnant, but I also hear it's one of the more complicated games ever.
How bad could it be?
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so, I mean, are you as interested in the company as you were when you were at, when it was Squaresoft and you were younger, or is it just sort of a farm for you now, a factory?
I mean, honestly, I don't really see that many more, like, Final Fantasy spin-offs that really stick out in my head these days.
Dissidia. Oh, wait, that stick out in your head. Never mind.
Well, no, Dissidia is a separate thing. Dissidia is organized in my head along with Castlevania Judgment.
I don't know what you're talking about. They made a Castlevania
Judgment. Category of things that should never be. So
things that never happened.
So it's just sort of put aside.
But Lelouch is an Onion Knight.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that meant.
Even I do!
I don't know what that means, but I'm trying to...
Oh.
All right, anyway.
Oh, then again, Star Ocean.
Oh,
there.
Yeah,
Star Ocean. It's been mentioned. Because I don't remember who, but somebody promised that Star Ocean would be mentioned in the Squinix broadcast.
Edge Maverick. Okay, we've done enough about Star Ocean.
What about Hitman?
What?
It's coming.
From Square Enix? Really?
How?
It's an Eidos title.
Oh, because they bought Eidos and Eidos.
And they now have Tomb Raider. I think.
They should.
Actually, I thought it was Crystal Dynamics. I don't know. Someone's got it. Hitman's coming from Square, though. Square Enix. Isn't that weird?
That is really weird. But you know that in like 2 years we'll be seeing Final Fantasy Hitman.
Starring Vincent Valentine.
Sure.
As Boba Fett.
Voiced by Jason Statham.
That would be so awesome, actually.
I would play a game that had Jason Statham voicing Vincent Valentine.
Jet Li can voice Red 13.
They've never been in a game together.
That is true.
Wait, what's the Jet Li game called again?
It's like Rise to Honor.
Oh, I have it. It's right there.
It's Jet Li Rise to Honor.
I've never opened it.
It's where he runs around the Metreon.
And that's all he does is run around the Metreon, really.
Every time I walk on that catwalk thing on the mezzanine level of Metreon, I just remember that stupid game.
And how we stayed up till 5 a.m. watching Phil play it.
And be like,
no, block. You need to block.
Oh, man.
And this is why video games should be played in groups, except when you're bad at them.
No, I was like also thinking Star... I was looking through the list, and I was like, oh, yeah, Star Ocean. Grandia 3 is from them, too.
Is it?
Let me check again. I'm pretty sure it is.
Hey, you're not go.
Wasn't it a Namco game before?
No, it was it was Game Arts. Oh, wow. Grandia 3 what?
Yeah!
What?
Danny and I got it.
What?
It sounded different to you, too, right? Okay, whoever's listening, go back and listen to Dom say Game Arts.
We are such children, I apologize.
Don't apologize. Just slam it.
No, no!
Slam it.
Hey, leave him hanging. Leave him hanging.
Oh, paper! You can't leave a bro hanging. That's against the bro code.
Just leave him flopping around.
Neil Patrick Harris would not approve.
You're a special exception, Dom.
Oh, come on. I'm a bro.
Everyone's going to write in now, like, why are you guys picking on Dom? I did not have anything to drink during this show.
This is true. All we're doing is eating his gingerbread house.
We don't know what's in it, of course, so I don't know.
There is a prize inside. It's laced with crack.
It's laced with booze.
So Grandia was from who again?
Game Arts. Shop smart. Shop Game Art.
Now you're just saying.
That's
you're
the
not
thing
saying
that last one actually
art.
Sounded normal. That last one actually sounded more normal than
really?
The
Really? Because I think he intentionally said it that way.
Isn't it weird?
I know, it is. But it's, yeah, Grandia is from them now, right?
They published it. They didn't develop it.
Now they start publishing everything. Aren't they the ones publishing Modern Warfare 2 in Japan, too?
Probably.
I'm pretty sure
All I know
them.
Is that the Modern Warfare localization in Japan is terrible. It is still in English, I think.
Oh,
the subtitles are incorrect.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. I heard about that, the No Russian mission. You can't shoot anyone. That's the difference.
The subtitles are incorrect. People have been going through this going, that's wrong. We go to the next line, that's wrong.
That,
the next line,
that's
that wrong.
Doesn't matter. The gameplay was changed.
Yeah, that's true too. But yeah, they just did a bad job with it. Oh, like in all ways. How about that?
Another thing they've done is they went into manga with FMA, didn't they?
Well, NX always had a...
NX was always in the...
NX always did, but yeah. Square didn't.
Well, when it became Square NX, Square...
They just changed the logo
and everything. Changed the logo and everything.
Oh, okay.
And so it was the same magazine as before. I mean, Violinist of Hamelin was in that magazine before.
Oh, man, Violinist of Hamelin.
Wow. That brings you back, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The movie is awesome. The TV show is not that great.
Are we going to our top games now?
Yeah, let's go into our top games.
Yeah!
I was actually looking at Modern Warfare 2 to see who published it.
It's them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty sure it's them.
I'm looking on Amazon.
You can just Google Squaresoft, Square Enix publishing Modern Warfare 2.
You can just Google Japanese Modern Warfare 2 sucks.
You could just believe me.
Oh, yeah, okay. Fine, I'll believe you.
Yeah. Someone will send an email if I get it wrong.
Actually, you're right anyway.
Someone else will do it for you.
So let's go into our top games. So top five Squaresoft or even Square Enix games.
Oh, crap. Five?
you don't want five? You want three?
Three.
Okay, we're negotiating three.
And
three.
If you have five,
top
you 14. Can mention those. 14, all right. Final Fantasy...
14.
14.
Final Fantasy 13.
13-2.
Final Fantasy...
Oh, wait, there is a 13-2. Yeah. There's another 13.
Yeah, making alternate.
Yeah, they've made a bunch of 12s, too. Revenant Wings.
No, but 13, the what is it? The other 13 is being made right now at the same time.
It's basically concurrent release, or concurrent development, at least.
So anyway, let's go to the top three games, and if you have more than that three, we'll go to that. How about that?
Okay. Since I was reminded about it, I might as well start with Rad Racer.
Okay, so honorable mentions first. Who has those?
I have none.
Things that go outside of your top three.
Mike? All the ones I don't mention that I don't hate.
Aquaman 2.
So few of them. Hitman 5.
Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 5.
Modern Warfare 2-2.
International Edition.
All right, I'll say a serious one, Kingdom Hearts. Just because I like Utada Hikaru songs.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say because Mickey Mouse is a freaking ninja.
Mickey Mouse is awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
I like the GBA Kingdom Hearts.
The card-based one?
Chain of Memories, yeah.
That's a vaguely interesting one. All right.
Although the Simple and Clean video is terrible.
Because she drinks warm water.
She washes
the dishes.
And yes. Drinks the dishwater.
Warm tap water is the worst thing in the world to drink. Oh.
Really?
Well, basically it's worse than cold tap water.
Tap water is great. It's like water.
All right.
We'll live in LA for a while.
Oh, okay. No, up here is nice. My number three is ActRaiser.
That's a good one.
Oh, yes. Love that game. Action, going around buying things and killing things.
Yeah, you can smite things with lightning.
Yeah, actually, it was a weird thing about
Little Angel.
I didn't play it until Virtual Console.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I played it on SNES.
It was like this weird thing between Magic Sword and SimCity, or Populous.
Yeah. I love the city parts. The actual, like, magic stuff. I was like, eh.
So what'd you think about 2?
There's a 2?
If you cared about the city parts, no, there isn't a 2.
What's 2?
All action.
As a random note, if I remember this correctly, ActRaiser had its music done by the Streets of Rage guy.
Oh, wow.
By the way.
That makes so much sense. That makes a depressing amount of sense.
What's your number 3, Danny?
My number 3 is actually Kingdom Hearts 2, which is tantamount to blasphemy at this table, I will admit.
Well, the main reason it's blasphemy is because when I walked in there, you were in the Tron world, and Miho's like, what's Tron? I don't know what this is. It's ugly. And every one of us who'd grown up with Tron went, yeah. Oh!
But we couldn't deny it, could we?
I didn't go all because I couldn't deny it.
But she's like, what is this? It's ugly. It's like, oh,
but yeah,
it's so crush my youth.
But I like the engine. I mean, I like the combat, and well, it's fun. It was a fun game to play.
I liked the part where you could just say, screw it, no Mickey, not no Mickey, no Donald, no Goofy.
Yes.
Screw you guys, I'm going to be badass now.
Yes, exactly.
That was the only thing I liked about that, really.
Well, that's the thing, you could spend half the game in doing that if you're playing for it.
Just do the fusion dance?
Yeah.
You're not going to do this with me, how about this? Yeah? Yeah?
No, that involves contact.
No.
You're not
doing it right
anyway.
No, it's only your index.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No?
It's too late now.
You've done it wrong.
You didn't do the dance first. It's going to mess up.
But yeah,
you guys are dicks.
I mean, that's the thing.
Stories.
It was... you know, it was one of those obvious crossover games where they throw in everybody you recognize, but at the same time, they made new main characters.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Like Roxas.
I hate Roxas. That's the main reason I hate Kingdom Hearts 2, is because, like, oh yeah, in this first 6 hours of the game, throw them away for a while.
That's okay, I can play that part in my sleep now.
I don't like that ability. Mike?
My number three, I'm going to have to go with Final Fantasy Tactics. The original War of the Lions, where you remake people.
War of the Lions is a great remake, too.
I hear they cleaned up the translations?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
You mean it's not Life is Short, Buried anymore?
Steady Sword.
Aww.
I would have to go with Final Fantasy X-2. I'll say that I've never played it. And I never want to play it.
It's fun.
But...
I disagree with this.
I do like the whole idol singing thing,
right,
and
right.
changing of the clothes
in Final Fantasy IV,
and it's what made Kodakumi big. So
actually, props the implants are what made Kodakumi big.
That was a literal sense, but
this is why no one wants to fist bump with you. You realize this?
Oh come on! In most other circles, that would be worthy of a fist bump. No.
Have you been to this circle lately?
Oh, come on!
Gingerbread.
Fine, my number three is Chrono Trigger. Because you guys are jerks, I'm going to pick Chrono Trigger before you guys pick Chrono Trigger.
Well, you're a jerk, because my number two is Chrono Trigger.
Let's talk about Chrono Trigger now.
It's got a frog and Volcano Man.
The frog had the best music in that game.
I've never played Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger is a good game.
What did you name your characters? The same names?
I just kept the same names. I usually do. Because the thing is that back when I was playing Final Fantasy VI, I thought I was a really smart kid, and I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And I named all of my characters after insults. And so the problem is that when you actually get to the part at the very end where you have to pick out the list of characters who are going to fight Kefka at the very end, and when all you see is idiot, moron, butthead, dick, et cetera, you go, who is this? And so after that experience, I went, okay, I'm never renaming characters again.
Good job. Well, Chrono Trigger, I like. Music is great. Gameplay is quick and easy. Presentation's nice. There's all those different endings. To me, it was one of the best games. I only ever got
the one ending. So
the one where you die?
No, it was just I don't remember. I think it's just a generic
the
ending.
The regular ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a complete package. It was short. It was replayable. It had puzzles that made sense over time. It's like, okay, if I bury this 100 years ago, in 200 years, it'll be awesome, probably.
It also has a drinking game.
That's right.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
Which is
you just hit X a bunch of times.
Yeah. Is you just button mash and you drink as much as you can.
I thought you meant, like, when this happens, take a drink.
When you travel through time, take a shot.
When you have a random encounter.
Oh, yeah, I remember, like, one of the puzzles was, like, you're supposed to get a bottomless drink. And that's how you win something like that. Is you actually get a bottomless drink from somewhere.
I don't remember that anymore.
Bottomless mug. Anyways, yeah.
Danny?
My number two is actually the American release of Dragon Quest VIII, because I was never expecting them to actually release that.
With Yengis and all?
Well, no, that's the thing. That was, if you had any idea the amount of effort they put into that.
Because, I know they put a lot of effort into that.
Because Miho got the original Dragon Quest VIII when it was in Japan, and she played through the whole thing, and then we found out it was coming out in English, and that it was taking so much longer because they were recording a full voice track and remastering all the music, and we're like, what?
I like the voice track.
Yeah,
matches.
And yeah,
it's really good.
And the voice work is really good.
Yes.
I remember watching Miho play, I think it was 8, and she would be playing on the slime controller, and every once in a while she would, like, whenever the Vegeta looking guy would come on the screen, she would pause it, take a picture, and then continue playing.
Suffice it to say, he's the brother of one of the minor characters, and therefore...
They're gay for each other in her mind?
Not just hers!
For all of Japan's minds?
But yeah, it's a very specific thing. But yeah, it was a fun game, and a lot of detail was put into it. especially for the English release. So, I give props to Double Flat.
All right, Mike?
For my number two, I'm going to say Valkyrie Profile, Covenant of the Plume. I can't choose Valkyrie Profile because that was just Enix.
And you can't choose Valkyrie Profile 2 because if you did, I'd punch you in the face. Or I'd just stick out my fist and hope you would face bump me.
Well, like
face bump you.
Well, like I said, I haven't opened it.
Wouldn't that just be face to face bumping?
No, that's kissing.
Face bumping.
Fist to face bumping. Yeah.
Fist to face bump.
That's called punching.
Well, what's your number two, son?
I have to go with what some of you said, which is Chrono Trigger. I played it in high school. So, when I played it, I did the usual thing that I'm sure a lot of other people did, which was like, name the main guy Gohan, name the main girl Bulma, and so on and so forth.
Right. Thanks, Toriyama. All right, so I guess my number two in this case is Final Fantasy VI, which is the first time there was a cast that big and you actually had a decent sense of who they were. Like, you actually could figure out their characters. Although, going back and looking at it, you go, they could have done better. But then you think about it and you go, probably they couldn't. They probably ran out of space on the cartridge. And yep. So they did really well with what they had in all aspects of that. Music, content... So Final Fantasy VI. I can go back and play that pretty much at any time.
All right, number one time, and I feel bad for leaving out Driving Emotion Type S.
Well, that's okay. I'm sure it doesn't care.
My number one is something we actually have not even mentioned on this entire episode, and it's Bushido Blade.
Oh! Wow.
Which I love that game. It was one of the first few ones where it's like you could do a one-hit kill on somebody else by just hitting them over, like, slicing at their head. I like the game. I know there's not much to do in it.
Did you like the throwing dirt at people's faces?
Yeah. I like just running around, screaming around that game, but I thought at that time it was really cool to be able to have sort of like one-hit kills. The only other thing I had thought of at that time that made more sense with that was like Counter-Strike with the headshots.
Yeah.
And it was, it was like headshots with swords.
Just reasonable. Sure.
I just really enjoyed it. I played it a lot when I was younger, when I had my first PlayStation, and that's the one that really... I thought was really cool, and I just kind of surprised they never did more with it. I don't really did two, right? Bushido Blade 2. And
yeah, they had it a just kind of two, but it was
pretty it
much
worse
the same.
Or the same? I don't
it was pretty
know.
Much the same.
They never brought it out to something else more. I thought they could have.
So yeah, my number one has never come up because it never received an American release. So it's understandable if most people here haven't actually played it. Seiken Densetsu 3,
okay,
which was the sequel to Secret of Mana, since that was 2. And the game was just so well made. I mean,
I thought they did release a Secret of Mana 2, or is that a different game?
No, I mean, the closest thing they had to an American release was Secret of Evermore, which is a completely different game, and fists will be shaken right now. But
will they be bumped?
No, just shaken.
Oh.
But yes, but Seiken Densetsu 3 was just, it was fun. I mean, you had six main characters, and any of them could be the main character, because if you picked one, you got to see their origin story. And it also determined who the last boss would be, because, by fate, it was whoever was in the beginning that was, your adversary at the beginning, ends up becoming the last boss of the game.
Spoiler.
So you could actually see three different last bosses, and just, you could see different storylines go through. I mean, and yeah, it's just, I played that game without actually knowing Japanese.
I'm sure you got a lot out of it, too.
There's a translated ROM that's been around for a while, too.
We don't talk about that.
Well, how are our English-speaking folks going to be able to play it?
By like learning I did! Suck it up!
By learning Japanese.
Suffer like G did.
But, I mean, the way the story goes, apparently they wanted to release it here. They were making initial plans to release it here, but they ran out of money. And they had to choose between that or... apparently, according to the story, they ended up releasing Secret of Evermore instead. And
I thought you were going to say they had to choose between that and the Spirits Within.
But as it turns out, there's another story that indicated that it was the choice between that and Chrono Trigger, which is a much harder choice, because the way Chrono Trigger turned out, it became a really big franchise and just a really big hit here.
And to this day, the cartridge is worth a lot of money on the secondary market.
So it makes me wonder sometimes, what if they'd went in a different direction? Maybe the game that I like would be liked by more people.
Maybe they wouldn't have as much money, so they wouldn't have tried to make Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within. And then they would still be Squaresoft.
I'm pretty sure Seiken Densetsu 3 could have made $120 million.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping, because the series after that just sort of went downhill.
Dawn of Mana?
So bad. All right, Mike, number one.
My number one is actually a tie between Final Fantasy 3 and Final Fantasy 2. That's 6 and 4.
Cheater.
Well, I'm actually going to give it to 4 because Dom's already mentioned 6.
Aha!
So, I really like Final Fantasy 4 because it's got, in my opinion...
An expendable cast.
I like Final Fantasy 4 because of the storyline. It's kind of a simplistic story as far as it goes. It's very straightforward, even though it takes some weird turns. I mean, you ride around on a whale at the end. Go to the moon.
The weird thing for me, oh, my beloved son, I will raise you right here, become a death knight. Use the powers of darkness, hit yourself to do more damage to enemies.
Yeah.
My beloved son.
He didn't make you be a death knight.
He trained you as a death knight when you were growing up.
That was the King of Baron.
Yeah. He was like, oh, my beloved adopted son.
Yeah. How long do you think he's been, Kainazo? Anyway, I really like all the characters from 4. I like all the characters from 6, too, but 4, they're all, you know, even though it's a revolving cast, they're all central to the story in a way that the 6 characters are not necessarily. They all have their own little vignettes, but they're not part of the central story, unfortunately. But anyway, Final Fantasy 4.
So?
Mine's pretty obvious right now. It's just Final Fantasy 3/6. It's really the only Squaresoft game that I've played over and over again. Although I have played Chrono Trigger quite a few times. But I just really, really liked that story. And it's it was the first game, at least that I can remember, where you would be playing through it and then the world ends. Like, oh crap.
That's the middle of the game.
And then that's the middle of the game. And then suddenly you have to, like, everything's different and you have to, you know, build up from, you know, nothing. And it's
the director was
just
going
awesome.
Through a difficult time in his life.
And then that's become such a cliche now, but, you know, it was like really, really epic game. And I really liked all the characters.
To think of it, I think that's the first time I ever encountered in a game somewhere the group of plucky adventurers out to save the world who fail.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the villain was somebody else.
Yeah.
So anyway, my number one.
Wait.
What?
I already know what it is. But is it Parasite Eve?
No.
Okay.
I do not like games about weaponized cancer, thank you. Anyway, my number one is Final Fantasy X, because that was the introduction of voice to the Final Fantasy series. And that gave the characters an extra dimension, and I know a lot of people don't like all of the characters in 10, but the ones that I did like in Final Fantasy X really carried the entire game for me.
Kimari?
He didn't even talk much.
Sure he did.
I mean, the guy who doesn't
exist?
He refers
to himself as Kimari.
But anyway, so the
Kimari.
Whole... Jimmy has plans!
I thought it would be Final Fantasy IV for sure.
No? Okay, wait. You don't get a fist bump, but you do get this.
Which is?
Oh, he's messing up. Take your hand back.
I don't know what you're doing.
See what you did. That's why we don't bump
this.
That's
why you don't get nice things.
What is that? What did
Aren't you supposed to do a slap
hands?
First and then that?
No. It's... no.
Or is that
something
else?
What?
Yeah.
I have no idea what you just did.
I tried. Let it be.
What
known,
did you try? What did you try?
Anyway, Final Fantasy X.
But yeah.
Why not 4?
Because Final Fantasy X had voice. And the characters that I liked in there, especially at the very, not the very end, but before the last boss.
Final Fantasy VIII had voices, sort of.
It had a voice.
Yeah.
No, it had cutscenes with voices.
Did they?
Yeah.
But the thing was, Final Fantasy X was all voiced.
There's no voices in any of the cutscenes for VIII. I thought you were referring to the song.
I remember seeing video clips, and they had voices.
I don't think so.
No, they don't.
I don't think for 8, no.
No.
The only voice in 8 is the song, Eyes on Me. 7, at the end of 7, they have subtitles.
No, I remember seeing a clip of a scene from, I think it was like their graduation, and I remember the girl specifically talking and saying the guy's name and they're talking.
Maybe we're all insane.
Maybe we're all insane. Who knows?
I don't remember that.
Well, anyways, you can YouTube it later. Sure, I don't know. I'm sure
it'll say Phantom next to it.
I'll say that I have never played the game, but I have seen clips online.
Yeah, so the thing is that the Final Fantasy X, at the end, when Little Boy meets his father again for the first time in a very long time, and their reunion, it made the room a little dusty for me, and video games haven't done that very often. And so,
and yet he doesn't remember.
Danny is trying to extend his hand to Dom. Dom does not understand what to do with the hand.
I'm supposed to clasp it?
Have you forgotten the ending already?
Which part of the ending?
The last shot!
Oh.
Thank you!
Let it be known that Dom and Danny have slapped hands.
Much in the way of Titus and Jack.
Because the part that I was remembering was...
Let the record show
spoiler time, because I don't know anything about Final Fantasy X story. Why
now
are
you
they
do.
Why are they crying in the lake?
Crying in the... Oh, because the whole point of the...
So he's a memory, or ghost, or whatever.
He's basically a ghost. And she is supposed to sacrifice herself at the end of the game.
So
in
what,
order to
that's
keep
why
down
she's,
the big evil.
That's so, why she's crying in the lake?
Because she's going to die.
How come she doesn't?
Because they go... This sucks. No, we're not going to do this. We're going to find a different way. And then they do.
How? By slapping each other's hands.
Well, basically what happens is that the whole thing about Final Fantasy X is that it's a repeating cycle, and they break the cycle.
Oh, like The Matrix.
Kind of.
Actually, yes, The Matrix.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But yeah, so
Smith is
the parallels are kind of similar.
Yeah, they actually are kind of similar actually. Now that you're telling me this.
So. But yeah, so the whole thing is that, you know, his dad's the one who kind of gets him to break the cycle because he's the one who's still sort of human enough in order to be able to
continue insulting him.
Like some of the last lines of the game are, "I hate you, Dad." I know. I'm bad. Wait, no, I seem to be mixing some of these things together, but yeah.
Was Jack voiced by Kevin Conroy?
But yeah, so the thing is that, you know, it had a very emotional core to it, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that came along with it, I can give or take, but the story itself I loved.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, Lita always tells me to play Final Fantasy X because the story's really good, and then she said, but the gameplay you're going to hate. And I'm like, well, why would I play it? It's like, I don't know.
Just watch the movies and get the story. Or you can just hear our version of it.
That's the last one you get.
I've played the game through like 3 times now.
I know.
You've seen the ending 3 times.
But yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for that. I mean, even back in 8, the game that apparently nobody at this table who remembered any game prior to that liked, I actually enjoyed portions of it. And there's one specific scene
like 8.
I'm the one who hates 8.
Okay, fine.
They go into space.
Yeah, that's the thing. even after going into space and the weird sequence where you have to catch her because she's floating out into space, I like the scene immediately after that. So I thought it was awesome.
Which is
basically they get back onto the ship.
The Ragnarok.
He gets ready to go, you know, pilot thing back onto Earth, and you know, Renoa stops, holds her arms out. Squall turns around, and goes, "What?" And she starts hopping. like you know, this is serious. Like hug, and. It was just the silliest thing ever.
It's the silliest thing ever, and it's just more evidence that I hate the main character of 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a dick. Like you, Kevin. Jerkstore. I should name my Final Fantasy 8 character that, if I ever play that. I'll just name
him. Yeah, but then you'll never be able to tell which one is which.
I don't think there's enough letters.
JRKSTRE. That'll be your license plate.
You might only be able to get
Jarkstar.
What's Jarkstar?
Jorkstar?
All right. Anyway, that wraps up the Square Enix.
Wow, what a
Squaresoft episode. This will be a fun one to edit, right, Kevin?
I thought you were editing these.
Oh crap!
Oh, by the way, you guys forgot to mention in survival horror Parasite Eve.
That's not a survival
horror. We didn't forget.
We left it out.
All right.
So anyway.
Oh, actually, mentioning that, I was at the Metreon and I saw they had a you know how you're saying what's that the one where you shoot them? House of the Dead. You know how I was saying House of the Dead isn't really survival horror? Mm-hmm. Well, I saw an arcade similar to that arcade version of Code Veronica.
Huh. Right.
Nice.
Weird. All right. Anyway, you can find us online at s-words-podcast.com. If you have any feedback or suggestions, send them to us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. We're on Facebook somewhere, I think, but we're also on twitter.com/s_words, which is where I share my thoughts and just talk about random crap, really.
Mostly porn.
No, no.
Sorry, there's not that much porn on his. You should follow someone else.
Like Superunker.
Yeah, sure.
Twitter guys on Superunker.
You know, there's lots of porn stars on Twitter.
I'm not surprised by this.
There's a lot of everything on Twitter.
I think that you go to, like, one of their feeds and just be like, yeah, so-and-so is doing me right now. Yep.
Good night, everybody.
What's the next topic? What is the topic? I'm totally
Square
lost.
Enix.
Oh, Square Enix.
And we're Jason talking about the merger Statham. With Enix right now.
Oh, okay.
So the games that came out after the merger.
I hope you cut this out.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.